To Acts chapter 14, when you find that, stand with me. Acts chapter 14. Feels hot in here to me. Can we make sure the heaters aren't on, Brother Joe? Let's turn the AC on.
Amen.
Revival's about to happen. Woo! We don't want you going to sleep. Jacket's coming off, though. I'm already sweating, I think. Acts chapter 14, beginning in verse number 1. We're going to read through verse 7. The Bible says, "And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews." This is Paul and Barnabas. "And so spake." What's that mean? They preached. I love it. "That the great multitude both of the Jews and of the Greeks believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles." You know, I almost did a sermon, "Sometimes God needs to stir us up." I mean, I was this close. And we might end up next week with a sermon about being stirred up. God needs to stir us up sometimes. You know what? We get a little stagnant. We get a little grumpy. There's some of you out there tonight, you know. And we need God to put us through some things to stir us. Well, God's... I think there's a stirring that's happening here. Now, it was the Jews and the Gentiles that were against what Paul was preaching, and they began to stir things up, and God uses that. And let's see, where are we? I got all excited. Verse 2. "And the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time." Did it stop them, though? No. "Long time, therefore, abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles..." By the way, assault means a violent action. That's what that means, violent action. "Made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them. They were aware of it, and fled into Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about." And notice verse 7. I love this. "And there they preached the gospel." You know, they preached the gospel there because that's what they did everywhere they went. Well, then we're just going to go to the next city. What are you going to do there? Lay low? Nope. We're going to preach the gospel, because that's what it's all about. And there's something neat here that God had for us. I was studying this and I thought, you know, this section right here has sort of baffled me some, because it seems all bad. It just seems all bad. They're going in there, they're preaching the word, that's good, but the people are stirred, everybody's angry, nothing's going right. You know, almost like Brother Zimmerman's prayer letter. I felt bad for him, you know. And I'm glad we're able to be a help or a blessing. You know, hopefully that'll be an encouragement to him. But sometimes the ministry's like that. And it makes you feel like, am I doing this right? I feel like maybe I'm not doing something right. It seems like it maybe should be better than this. That's what they're going through. But you don't feel that Paul or Barnabas had a spirit of discouragement, even though they were in a really bad situation. It doesn't seem that way. Because they preached when they got there. They stayed a long time preaching while they were there. And then whenever, right before they lost their life, that's when they left. And when they left, guess what they did? They preached. And I feel like there's an encouragement here for us. So let's pray. Father, we love you. We need you tonight. I pray for your grace. Guide us in your path. Lord, strengthen us where we're weak. There are some that tonight are confused, perhaps, about why we're struggling with some things or why we're going through some trials that we're going through. And so it could be that you want to remind us tonight that you're working and that you have a plan and you know what you're doing, and we can trust you all the way. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I did a sermon several years ago at a pastor's meeting, like a fellowship meeting, and the title of my message was, "You're Not Doing It Wrong." And I got that message from Luke chapter 1 or 2. I can't remember. I think it was in chapter 2. I should have looked it up. But it's when Mary was expecting with child, or she was with child, born of the Holy Ghost, Jesus. And everything, I'm sure that everything is being prepared for the birth of Christ. And then suddenly there's a taxation. She has to get on a donkey and travel, and she's about to have a baby. Ladies, imagine. Can you imagine? No, you don't want to imagine that. And it could be that while they're on the journey and they get to town and she's thinking, well, God knows what he's doing and it's going to be okay. And then they get there and then there's no room in the inn. Like, what is this all about? And it seemed like everything could go wrong and all of that was going wrong. And it might have been that she would have felt, am I doing this right? I know I'm doing what God wants me to do and God is working in this situation, but am I doing this right? And the encouragement that I wanted to be to those preachers was that even though things are challenging, even though things don't seem like they're going well, even though at times it feels like it's like you're trying to move forward with God, but then you're taking steps backwards. You're trying to reach people, and then people leave instead of come, you know, and it makes you wonder, am I doing this right? And you're not doing it wrong. That was the encouragement. You're not doing it wrong. There are just seasons and times in life when you're trying to do what God wants you to do, and there's resistance. And that's the title tonight. Resistance is part of the job. Resistance, it comes along the way as we try to live for the Lord. And we would be wise to understand that. We would be wise to embrace that that part of, you know, that part of us trying to live for God, trying to be faithful to him. And stand for him and be what he wants us to be, that when you're living the life that God has called you to live, that there's going to be resistance. There's going to be times when things aren't going to go like you expected it to go. And it's going to cause you to feel perhaps like you're doing it wrong. Am I doing this right? And God wants to remind us tonight that, you know, no, you're doing it right. It's just part of what happens when you stand for me and you live for me. And the Apostle Paul here and Barnabas, they would have experienced this. This is kind of what they're going through here. They're traveling to Iconium, and the reason why they're leaving Antioch of Pisidia is because of, you know, of opposition. And so they're being a testimony there, and they're facing opposition, and now they're transitioning from there into Iconium. And when they get to Iconium, the scripture says here that they're preaching the gospel. They're telling people about the Lord. And there are those that are believing. They're receiving it. And by the way, that's what happens when we do what we do. When we open the doors on Sunday. I was amazed this morning. We had a really good crowd in church this morning. And you say, well, why are you amazed? There's a little bit of sickness going around. Some of us have been dealing with that. And so whenever sickness is going around, I wonder how many will there be in church. And we were packed out this morning. I mean, even again. And so what does that mean? It just means God is working. God is working in our church. And we open the doors, and what do? We open the Word of God, and we say what God said, and then God speaks to hearts. There was like 8 people. I don't know. I didn't count, but it was like 8 people who raised their hand this morning. They need to be saved. Why would they raise their hand? Because God's working. He's working in hearts. This is what Paul is doing. This is what is exciting about what we get to do. Now, I am thankful that there's not the same level or kind of opposition that Paul is dealing with, you know, in our church. Right? I mean, I haven't had any, like, threats. You know, meet me out in the parking lot, Pastor. You know, we got a surprise for you, you know. And I'm like, okay, Brother David, let's go. You know, I need some big guys. So let's go. Brother Larry, you know, you guys get on this side over here. Let's go out and deal with this. No, we don't have to deal with that. And there's opposition with Paul and Barnabas. And so the opposition they're dealing with is what we would consider, what Jesus said is persecution. He said, yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer what? Persecution. It's a part of what we do. Blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is a, well, I don't know the last part of that. But you know, understand. Jesus said that we would suffer persecution. It'd be part of our stand in our life for him. And so we open the doors, we preach the gospel, and people are touched, and that's happened here, but then there's also opposition. And let me say that although there's not the kind of opposition that I haven't faced the kind of opposition that Paul has faced here, but there is still today opposition to the message of the gospel. I can tell you, Brother David mentioned about the role of the pastor and that there are things that happen behind the scenes. And there are conversations that are had, and those are not easy conversations that I have with people. Is it like I just go into it like a bulldozer, and I'm going to put people in their place, and I'm going to tell them how it is? No, I don't go into it that way. I mean, I don't want to do it that way, and it's not part of my like personality, nor do I believe it's godly to do it that way. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to open the Bible and we're going to see what God says. And so that's what we do. So I open the Bible and then I tell people that they're living in sin. And I do it with a big smile on my face. I'm your friend and I love you, but Jesus said this. And then they just get mad about it sometimes. Now that's opposition to the things of God. That's the kind of resistance that cannot be avoided. It just comes with the job. It comes with doing what God wants us to do, standing for Him. There is opposition. Paul and Barnabas are facing that. And it's causing them to move in the region from Antioch of Pisidia, and God did a great work there. But they moved from there because of opposition, and from there they went to Iconium. And now we see that there's opposition that's rising up. Now, did they immediately pack their bags and leave in fear? No, no, no. It says in the scripture that they stayed. As a matter of fact, they stayed for a long time. I love how it said at verse 3. Because there were unbelieving Jews that stirred up the Gentiles. But, verse 3, long time therefore abode they speaking boldly. So even though there was opposition, they stayed and they continued to do what they did, to preach the word. And I think that that ought to be our attitude too. In the sense that just because we face, watch this, just because we face a kind of opposition and we start to feel like maybe we're doing something wrong, because opposition will make you feel that way. You know, whenever you, when you feel resistance, it will cause you to question whether or not you're doing it right. You know, am I really doing this? Am I doing this right? And so, even though there was that resistance there, the scripture says that they long time abode, and that's a kind of endurance that God wants us to have, that we would continue to endure and stand on what we know is true, and say what we know is true. And to be faithful, not to be unkind about it, but to be faithful. And to not back away from what we know is the right way. Well, I don't agree with it. Well, okay, you and I can disagree about some things, and we can still be friends. But there's one thing that we're really, if we're going to have unity, we have to agree about it, and that is, what does God say? And if we can't agree about what God says, then there might be a kind of, not just friction, but there might be a kind of issue there where there's a kind of a resistance that brings a separation. And those are the challenging times. Those are the times that we can struggle with. But Paul and Barnabas, as an example here, they're a long time, they're abiding, they're speaking, they're preaching. And in the scriptures, look what it says next. I love this, verse 3. Which gave testimony unto the word of his grace. So this is God, you know, is about to bring affirmation. And it says, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. So there is a blessing of the Lord through the signs and the wonders, bringing affirmation to the message. It's like God is putting his blessing on the ministry. Despite the opposition, God is saying, I'm with you and I'm for you. And I feel that that's a great blessing for Paul and Barnabas as they want to continue. Look at verse 4. But the multitude of the city was divided, part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. Verse 5. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them, when they were aware of it, they fled. And so now we have, there's a transition or there's a change that's taking place in the ministry of Paul and Barnabas, where they're hitting a kind of resistance that's causing them to move on, to move in the region beyond where they are in Iconium. It says that they moved to Derbe and Lystra. You know what's interesting about Iconium, Derbe, and Lystra? These are all in the region of Galatia. And I think this is great because God used the stirring of the Jews and the Gentiles to cause Paul and Barnabas to move all over the region of Galatia. And we know that God used Paul to start churches in Galatia, don't we? Because later on, he would write a letter of Galatians back to these churches that are starting right here. And so God's using him and using the ministry here to do a great work. Although there's opposition, God is doing a great work of starting churches through the ministry of Paul and Barnabas. And although there's this opposition, in verse number 7, it says that they just preach the gospel. It says there that there was an assault made. This was like a violent, like we were saying just earlier, violent intentions. The opposition would have felt overwhelming, I think. Overwhelming in the sense that this is the kind of opposition that makes you not want to go forward or try anymore, to decide not to continue. And for us, for you and me, I think these are the times when we get disappointed. When we've given our heart to something or we've given our life to something, and then it doesn't turn out like we hoped it would turn out. Amen. We've invested. When you invest yourself into somebody, you minister to them, you care for them, and then they go away, that's hard to see. That the feeling of that is difficult. Amen. When you give your heart to someone and you invest in them, investment, by the way, it's not just our money. That's part of it, right? Like you're not really investing unless you're willing to give. So there's an investment of our time and of our money and of our energy, and by the way, and of our love, of our being. We're giving some of our being to somebody and we're investing in them. And so Paul and Barnabas here are investing their lives in the ministry, and watch, there's an assault made against them by the very people he's investing in. Amen. So there's an opposition that's coming against him from the people he's giving his life to. And we can relate to that in the sense that there are times when we invest ourselves and then there's a sort of a going away or an opposition to that investment. And what that'll cause you to do is to not want to continue to invest in the same manner that you invested in the past. To not want to continue. To be disappointed. People can be disappointing. Have you ever been disappointed? And when you get disappointed with someone, that you had higher expectations because of some investment that you had in their life, and then there's a failure, there's a disappointment there, it could cause you to not want to continue to invest. Amen. To not want to continue to give yourself in the same way that you gave yourself. Like, well, you know, I gave of myself and I gave the effort there, and so I'm not going to continue to give the same kind of heart or the same kind of energy, the same kind of time, the same kind of devotion to minister to people in the same manner because of the way that I've been hurt in the past or the way that I've been done in the past or the disappointments that I've felt in the past. Listen, if that is your spirit, you're going to have a hard time continuing to minister. Why? Because resistance is part of the job. Resistance is part of living for God and investing in opening up your heart. When you open your heart, yes, you are giving, and you are giving love to somebody who needs it. But you're also making yourself vulnerable when you open your heart. And when you open yourself up and you begin to invest and you begin to do for others, and then there's an assault on your devotion, there's an assault on your love, it could cause you to close up some. And here's what I sense that could be the case tonight. That there are some of you that you have in the past opened yourself up. Give me your attention tonight. I think we need this. There are some of you, you've opened yourself up in the past. And what we're talking about, you have experienced. And what it has caused you to do is to close yourself off. And so now you're not open like you were. And maybe when you're at church, you kind of act like you're into it, and you love to visit with people, and you're bubbly, and you're friendly, because our church is friendly. How could you not love our church? Good night. This place is awesome. And so you're here, and you're kind of open in that sense, but you know in your heart you're not really open. I'm not saying that's all of us tonight. I'm not saying that I know of anybody that's that way tonight, but it could be that there's been an assault on the past in your life, and it has caused you not to be open like you used to be. And there's a sort of a closing off that's taken place. Do you know there's somebody in the Bible, if we studied their life, that they would have more of an excuse than you ever had to close themselves off? You know who it was? There's a lot of characters, but we're just going to talk about Joseph. Think about Joseph. Think about him. That guy's amazing, isn't he? And you know the story of Joseph. It's just incredible. But Joseph, he was sold by his brother. They took him and threw him in a pit, and they were going to kill him. But instead of killing, they sold him. And then from there, he became a servant of Potiphar. And while there, already being sold by his brothers and betrayed by them, and now he's in Potiphar's house, and she, you know, brings an assault against him. And now, through that episode, he's in the dungeon. He's in the prison. And so he went from being a servant to now being in the prison. And he's down there for a long time. And you can imagine that maybe with all of the years that are now passing, that they're starting to pile up, that maybe he's wondering, why is this happening to me? You know, why am I going through this? And you know what it could have been? That there would be a sort of, watch, there could be a sort of closing off in Joseph's life, where maybe he wouldn't be as open as he used to be to the things of God and the ways of God and the heart of God and the mind of God. That maybe God has a plan, not to think that, but why is this happening to me? And people have done me wrong, and I've been assaulted. And instead of being open and loving and being willing to, you know, be a minister and a servant, what he could have become is sort of a bitter, closed-off person to say, I don't want to be interested. I don't want to care. I don't want to do anything for anyone else. I'm just going to sort of focus on myself, because obviously nobody cares about me in my life other than myself. And so I'm just going to sort of focus that way. He could have done that. But you can't minister to people if you're that way. I remember when we moved to Nebraska, it was challenging. And I've talked about this in the past, but I'm going to say it again. It was really tough. I didn't want to be there. Can I just be transparent with you tonight? Is it true that God puts you somewhere sometimes and you don't really want to be there? I mean, yes. Sometimes. You know, and there's seasons in life when God does something in our life and he leads us to a person or to a situation or to something, and we maybe don't feel like we really want to do that. God leads us that way. Well, he led us to live in Nebraska in a farming community, and we didn't know anybody. And the church had 3 people, and 2 of them were really grumpy all the time. You think I'm kidding? I'm not kidding. I was like, I need to go get some toilet paper for the church. He was like, like, wait a second. Like, the church needs, like, you're getting grumpy about me needing to go get toilet paper? Where, you know? I'm like, why? I don't want to deal with this. And I remember I was in the, we had a big yard where we lived, and it was fall. You know what fall is? That's when the leaves fall out of the tree. Remember that? You've seen it on TV, right? So the leaves fall out of the tree, and we rake them all into a big pile, and there's a big pile of leaves in the yard. I'm like, and the kids were little. Ethan was just born, so he wasn't out there. But, you know, Caleb and Grant, they were all real small toddlers, and I'm like picking them up and tossing them into the leaves, you know, and I'm tackling them into the leaves. You know, there wasn't any rocks or sticks in it, you know. We're just playing. And there was a guy across the street watching us, like in his truck. He was in a red truck. I don't think I'll ever forget this. And I'm like, well, that's kind of strange. He just like staring at us. That's what people in small towns do. Like, really nosy. And I thought, didn't think a lot about it. And then he pulled out and he yelled at me through the window. Like he yelled at me through his window. And he told me this. He said, if I see you tackle your child again, I'm going to call the, and then he drove away. So I don't know who he was going to call, his mom or what, I don't know. He was going to call someone on me because I was playing with my kids in my yard. Listen, Brother Larry, when that happened, you know how I felt right then? I was like, I don't want to be here anymore. I don't want to be in this town anymore. There's nobody in this town that wants me here. And let me go ahead and just be honest about it. I don't want to be here either. And so that was my attitude. And so I went to my little prayer area. I'll try not to spit on you guys this night. I've been doing a lot of spitting over there. I'll just come over here. Brother Joe, you ready? Got your trash bag? I went to my prayer area, and I got on my knees, and I started to ask God, Lord, obviously, you don't want me to be here. Because people don't want us to be here. There's three people in our church, and two of those don't want us here. I don't really want to be here anymore. So we're all in agreement about it. The only one that needs to give the thumbs up about it is you, God. And he just said, nope, stay. I was so disappointed. Every time I did that, he always told me that. He always said, no, I want you to stay there because you're right where I want you to be. And I always argued with him, Lord, but why do you want me to be here? I don't understand this. There's nobody here who wants me here. I don't really want to be here. He says, no. I have something for you there. Listen, watch. You're feeling opposition, but you know what you need to do? You need to keep preaching. Amen. You're feeling opposition. You're feeling resistance. You feel it in your own heart. You feel people in the community resisting you. You feel it all around you. Even within the church, there's resistance. But I want you there. You're right where I want you to be. I said, okay. So we just kept on staying, and we just kept on preaching. And after a few years, people started getting saved. Amen. And people started having their lives transformed. I mean, God started doing an amazing work. So that we fast forward, you know, like a bunch of years, and it's year number 9, 1 year before I came here, and we have our 9-year anniversary, and there's like 100 people at church. That's a miracle. We only had 99 chairs. I don't even know where the other one was sitting. We had 100 people. I guess it was me. I was standing up the whole time. We had 100 people, and that's a miracle in our little community. And then Brother Chad, he's like, hey, you know what, Pastor? He's up there on the platform with me. We need to have everyone who got saved at the church stand up. Wow. I mean, he had all the good ideas. I didn't have any. I was like, that's a great idea. And so I went up behind the pulpit here. It was this pulpit, actually. And I stood up in front of the church, and I said, if you got saved at Valley Avenue Baptist Church, if you got saved because of this church, would you just stand up? I'm not kidding. 65 people stood up. The entire choir stood up except 2 people. They got saved at that church in the past 9 years. That's what God did. I didn't do that. I didn't even want to be there. God did that. Why? Because in the face of resistance, you just keep doing what you know God wants you to do. Resistance is part of the job. It doesn't mean you're doing it wrong. Can I say that again? Resistance is part of the job. It doesn't mean you're doing it wrong. It means, are you where God wants you to be? Are you doing what he wants you to do? You keep doing what you know God wants you to do. Amen. And you have the Spirit. You know what? This is, amazes me. Joseph, he was experiencing extreme resistance. And I want to show you something that's just going to, it's just going to blow your mind about Joseph. We're already amazed about how amazing of a man Joseph, an example he is in the Scripture. But let me show you something that's just going to blow your mind. And you can lose your place in Acts, and we're going to finish up in Genesis 40. This is where we're going to finish, Genesis chapter 40. I do want all of us to go here because I want you to see this. I just can't wait to show you this. Man, this is so cool. Look at verse number 1. So we already talked about the stuff he went through, right? His brothers, Potiphar's wife, being in prison. I mean, a lot of years. And the attitude he could have had, and maybe many of us would have, and can I go ahead and say maybe some of you do have tonight, what he could have had? Let's see Joseph here. Let's get a glimpse into what God was doing in his heart. And it came to pass after these things, that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. So we know about the butler there. And Pharaoh was wroth against 2 of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in the ward in the house of the captain of the guard, into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. So there, the butler and the baker, they're together with Joseph. Let's see, verse number 4. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them. And they continued a season in ward. Now verse 5. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream, one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream. The butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison, and Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were, say that next word.
Sad.
They were sad. It says that they were sad. You know, if Joseph had the attitude that you and I possibly could have had if we were Joseph, and we came into the dungeon and somebody was sad, maybe we would say, I don't care. I'm sad too. We could have said that. And, you know, it could have been that, like you and I, we honestly don't care. We don't care. You know why we don't care? Because we closed off our heart. Because we decided that day, whenever our disappointments overtook us, that we didn't want to care anymore. But Joseph didn't do that. Look what Joseph did in verse number 7. He asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his Lord's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sadly today? Let's just pause right there. Do you know what Joseph just did? He just took all of what could have been in his life as sadness and disappointment, and he set it aside. Yeah. He opened up his heart and he said, wherefore look ye so sadly today? I'm opening up my heart for you. Joseph did that. Is that amazing or what? Amen. That a man saw the sadness of somebody else and cared enough to say, why are you sad? I want to care for you. Do you know where we need to be tonight? Here's where we need to be. We just need to decide that despite the resistance, watch, we're almost done here. Despite the resistance you feel, that you're going to decide that you still care. You still care. You know what? I invested and I gave and I gave and I don't want to give anymore. But we won't let ourselves be overcome with that spirit. We'll set that aside. We'll open our heart and we'll decide tonight, I want to care. I want to care. That's the spirit of somebody like Paul and Barnabas, isn't it? Do you know what they did? They experienced an assault on their life. And they just continued. I mean, they continued on preaching the gospel, opening their heart to the next town, to tell as many about Christ as they could. And that's the ministry. This is what we're called to do. And we face resistance, but we still care. We face opposition, but we still care. And we love people, and we open our heart, and we give. Somebody we resisted. Somebody walked away. Somebody hurt us. Somebody did us wrong. But we're going to move on, and we're going to open our heart to the next person. And we're going to love the next one. And we're going to give ourselves for the next one. We're going to decide that we care.
Amen. That's
the kind of church. Where's my Bible? There it is. That's the kind of church. That's the kind of Christian God's going to use. And you know what? I think that's where some of us need to be tonight. I feel like there might be a few of us, we've closed ourselves off. You know what it's time for you to do? It's time for you to be a little bit more like Joseph. It's time for you to say, you know what? I'm going to set all that aside. And all that sadness I might feel like I have, I'm going to set it aside. I'm going to open my heart. I'm going to be a servant for God. And I'm going to let Him use me. I'm going to decide I still care. And let Him use you. Let Him use you. This is an encouragement. If you've been down, this is an encouragement to keep going. Don't give up. Don't let resistance cause you to stop, please.